Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
James Beattie, oh, belter!
Mané for a hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
Ball pass lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow and Mush Militant. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow
and
Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider sharing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode number 201. It's a new season, a new era under Russell Martin, and the new championship season is off and running, starting with a dominant performance, and we take away all 3 points. The perfect start. Today, we will go over that opening game of the season at Hillsborough. We also have the trip to Gillingham and our return home to St Mary's as we prepare to face Norwich City. Joining me this week, we have the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, how are you this week?
I'm all right, not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm glad to have the football back. You know, any form of football. I've just been, Saturdays, no game on for Saints, obviously, because they played on Friday night. So Saturday was taken up just watching the Football League show and just getting in all the goals, just trying to lap up as much football as I possibly can. So it's good to have it back. I mean, I'll probably be watching the Community Shield as well on Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, it's good.
Wow, you really do have withdrawal symptoms. I think it's just come about the same time, about the right time for me. Take a bit of time off, get a bit warmed up with the pre-season, and then, yeah, straight in. About a week or two earlier than the Premier League now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the Premier League next week, isn't it?
God, right, yeah.
Get those fantasy football teams in.
That's right. Yeah, I'll do that today.
Excellent. So the game then, what did you make of the game?
It was really, really exciting. Yeah, I was definitely looking forward to it. Wasn't working on Friday evening, so I managed to catch all of it, catch the build-up and everything. And I think it met expectations, didn't it? It was a rather good game.
Well, in terms of points, then yeah. and a win and all that, and the prediction that I got right. Yeah.
It was a bit of excitement.
Yeah. I still think there's a little bit more to come. Well, I'm hoping there's more to come from this team anyway.
Definitely.
If anyone is interested in joining in on our Discord, then just get in touch. Just send us a message, email, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. I mean, you can join in with our like game discussions, our predictions league, Fantasy Premier League and stuff like that. It's all good fun. Completely free to enter. So if you want to join us, then get in touch and we'll get you in. And also a reminder, if you are enjoying the show and you want to show your support, you can visit buymeacoffee.com/in that number. A tiny donation goes a long way for us. And I want to say a big thank you to Charles Edmonds who donated this week. It means a lot. So, yeah, big shout out to Charles Edmonds. He bought us a pint for our 200th episode. So,
touch up.
Yeah, so thank you very much for that. Yes, Kevin, we have to kick off, as we usually do, with the ITN news. So let's do it.
Kick it.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Mohamed Salisu, Kev, has departed for Monaco after 3 years at Saints in a deal around £17 million. He said, after 3 wonderful years at Southampton, it comes to an end. I want to take the moment to thank the club and the board, to the coaches and my teammates, and of course the Saints fans. It's been a pleasure and an honour to play for this club. Today I say goodbye to Southampton and to the club that gave me the amazing opportunity to play in England. I take with me many memories, lessons and great moments that I'll remember forever. Thank you for the experience of being a member of your big family. I wish the club all the best in the future. Thank you with all my heart. Once a Saint, always a Saint.
That's not wrong, Scorpion.
Yeah, it's a good move for him, isn't it? But we knew he values himself. I mean, he's a good player. He probably is a Premier League player, let's face it, on his day. I just don't like the attitude that he had towards the end of last season, saying that he's kind of down tools, didn't he? And you can't play a player like that who's not winning. To give us all for the club, it doesn't really want to be here. So,
yeah, pretty much. But that's an excellent deal for us. I mean, I've heard anything between 15 and 20 million euros. I wasn't expecting that much from him. So, yeah, it's a bloody good deal.
Yeah, happy all round then, really. You know, you don't get the money for him, move on. Still think we're short in that area, especially with Didier Cholet-Sarr as well going to Lyon on loan for the season. And as I understand, it's a season-long loan with an option to buy. And that deal was believed to be in the region of 1.5 million euros, which will be increased to around 5.6 million euros if the option to buy is triggered. So, yeah, fair enough, really. I don't expect to see him back at Southampton either.
No, I think that's just about recoup our costs on him.
Yeah, that's fine. He didn't really have a lot of games for us, really, did he, when you think about it?
No. And I'm expecting Armel Belakovchak to probably go as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
interesting him. So we're going to be quite thin in the centre-backs, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely need a couple, don't we, really? But
we need Lianco this day as well.
Yeah, and we don't know yet. We don't know what's going on with Lianco. So
it's a weird one.
Yeah. Sulemana. Just want to talk about Sulemana quickly, that he was out of the Wednesday game. And I was concerned, really, when I saw that he wasn't in the team. But, you know, there's always that genuine concern that a player has been linked with a move away and he isn't included because of like a phantom injury, then you just know it's the end. But Russell Martin has said that he is genuinely injured, and I'll quote him accurately now, actually. He says, Campbell Dean's injured, genuinely. He's good. He's been smiling. He has good energy. I really like him from what I've seen. I've not seen him on the training pitch very much, unfortunately. He went away with Ghana in the summer, played a bit of football, so came back a little bit later, and he's picked up a small injury. It's not a major one, but it would be madness to rush him for the first game and compromise everything else. He's a young man with huge potential, and hopefully he'll be involved very soon. He's probably a week or two behind the others in terms of what the injury is. So that's something, right? That's good news. I genuinely believe what Russell Martin's saying there.
Yeah, okay. I suppose we'll find out sooner or later, won't we?
Of course, that doesn't mean that he's not going to move away, but, you know, it's for now, there's nothing concrete about him moving away. There's no bids that's gone in for him that we know of. So it is just a knock. And then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, he could be back involved again.
Yeah, and especially if Teller finally does go to Burnley, then we're definitely going to need him.
I don't think they're going to sell him now.
I don't know, man.
I still don't know. Yeah, it's
just added a few million to his price tag.
Yeah, just push him out a bit. Yeah. Well, it was only an assist at the end of the day, so.
Okay, we'll definitely argue about this in a few minutes.
Yeah. One player that is on the move is Tino Livramento. The deal has been agreed between Saints and Newcastle. A fee in the region of 35 million with add-ons up to 5 million. Chelsea get a portion because of their sell-on clause, but considering it only cost us 5 million, you look at that on the outside, it's great business for Saints, but we are losing a great player and one that has left me feeling a little sad. But also, you can't deny a young lad that wants to play in the Premier League and the Champions League, and it's a great move for him. And it's like, yeah, it's a massive promotion for him. So, and his attitude didn't stink at all, because he still carried on in through pre-season, and he just looked like he wanted to be involved still, which is great. So that is, I'm just sad because we're losing a great player.
Yeah, and I don't think we really ever saw him get fully into gear and have an entire season to himself at right back. And this could have been his season. And for us to profit, what, 20 million quid off of him?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's worth it. But yeah, we can't begrudge him a move. We can't begrudge him a move, even if it is to Shire FC.
do you think this is more important now that we keep Kyle Walker-Peters, or that we really, really do try and tempt him to stay?
I think we have to. We're fucked otherwise. We've got James Bree and Ryan Madding, fullbacks with no real cover with Perreault injured. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just think we need to keep hold of Kyle Walker-Peters, or we need to try and persuade him to stay, because we are going to be very thin. And it's all this talk about the outgoings, but we haven't heard anything of incomings. We do need to start replacing these centre-backs and full-backs, because we are going to be very, very thin. I don't like that.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean, we're holding out for the price that we think these players deserve. And if we do get that in the last week of the transfer window, we're not going to have a chance to find a replacement.
No, and I hope that the club is actually questioned on their transfer policies. I know, because I know the club's big. It's a bloated squad. That we know this has been like that for a while. It's a problem that Ruben Sayers had. But they are starting to thin out, and it's not so much the, you know, that the wingers, the midfielders that we've got plenty of, but you know, now we're getting rid of these players that we need to replace, and I'm just worried that they won't replace them. Anyway, moving on. Jack Stevens, yeah, signed his new 2-year deal to extend his already 12-year stay. That's great news, because you know, I did think that he'd want to stay at Bournemouth, considering the Premier League and all that, and they seem to like him. He seemed to like them. It seemed like a good fit for him or for them both. But Russell Martin really wanted him to stay, and the club's rewarded him. And I think, Kevin, he's going to be very, very important this season ahead, considering, as we've just said, all the players that are moving out now, you know, two centre-backs gone this week, with potentially two more moving on before the window slams. He's also said that he would like him to be captain, and he would be captain if Prowsey isn't playing. So, yeah, our new captain. Because
Prowsey's
gone. Yeah, it's a good fit for everyone. I'm glad he stayed.
Yeah. Jack fucking Stevens, the Cornish Maldini.
Squad numbers, Kevin. They've been announced.
Yes. Did you not see Lianco's reaction on Twitter?
No.
The first he heard of his number 4 being taken away from him was on social media, and he reacted everywhere with a kind of crying emoji. Where's my number 4 gone?
Oh, it wasn't his choice.
No, I think that was the first he heard of it.
I wonder why that is then.
I mean, maybe it was done because they saw him going off and having a replacement centre-back taking the number 4.
Well, that's, I don't know. This is what I'm hoping for, because I just assumed it was Lianco's choice. I don't know. I mean, I knew that was one of the ones that was going, and I thought, well, why would he give up the number 4 and move to 25? It's an odd one. Yeah, so the number four was vacant, and I just thought maybe he has a special bond with the number 25. But then I thought, well, number 25 has been vacant for a bloody long time. You have to go back to 2019, and the last person to wear that was Paolo Gazzaniga. So that was long before Lianco arrived. So I thought if Lianco really wanted that number 25, he could have had it when he signed. So that was what I was thinking. But I didn't see the tweets, I have to admit.
Yeah, no, it was quite embarrassing.
Oh, shocking. Oh. But yeah, Ryan Manning's going to wear the number 3, which was vacated by Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Shea Charles takes the number 24. Yeah, Jack Stevens takes his number 5 again. Nathan Teller takes number 11. Smallbone 16, which was vacant. 11 was last worn by Redmond, by the way. Oh, actually, no, it was by Orsic. but Redmond before that. But yeah, Alcaraz has taken Salisu's 22, moving from 26. I don't see the point in that, but again, he must have a reason for it. Sam Amoamiyar has handed the numbers 27. Jaden Megamas, the number 29. Cammy Doyle, 32. And Dom Ballard, 34. But yeah, the number 4 to 25 for Lianco is, I think that just goes to show that, yeah, he's definitely going to be leaving, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a non-news thing, isn't it? All they've announced the squad numbers. But there are a few telling things. Like 16 for Smallbone shows that he's going to be an integral part of the midfield taking over from Ward-Prowse's old shirt number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he had number 20 last time he was here before he went on loan. Smallbone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there we are. Kevin, we've got yet another set piece coach.
God. Is it a case of too many cooks?
I don't know who was there at the moment. But we've got Andreas Georgsson, and he's joined from Malmo. Previously worked for Arsenal and Brentford during their promotional season. So I just hope he wasn't in charge of set pieces at Hillsborough, because, again, we've conceded another one.
Somebody involved, isn't
it? Yeah. But Jason Wilcox said that Andreas has an excellent understanding of the game model we're building here, in which set pieces play an important role. He is an expert in what he does and truly eats, sleeps and breathes set pieces, adding another string to our bow within the backroom staff supporting Russell and the team. So let's hope that we don't concede another set piece for the rest of the season. And yes, I'm including penalties.
Just imagine him like launching his breakfast from the corner of the room. You know? Eats, sleeps and shuts up.
Transfer news then. The only incoming news that I'm interested in at the moment, or the one that seems to have a little bit more traction than anything else, is the goalkeeping situation. Former Borough keeper Joe Lumley, he's 28, could be signing. Looks like it's going to be done. He spent last season on loan at Championship side Reading, who got relegated, conceded 57 goals in 41 appearances, but had 7 clean sheets. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure about this. On paper, it's not good.
But, yeah. I have seen the reaction to it. I mean, some of the fans of Borough and Reading and I can't remember one of the other clubs that he played at, I haven't seen anyone with a good thing to say about him.
Oh, Jesus, really? Would you like to share some of this?
Some of the fans were saying that he looked like he'd been paying bribes to try and stay in the team. He was that bad.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
He's not the solution to our problems. It doesn't have to be in the Premier League or a good Championship side. Yeah, if we were hoping that we were going to sign a replacement for Bazunu or Maka, this is not it.
Just a solid number 3 then, I guess. But
yeah,
he's a free transfer. So
I think he's the kind of solid number 3 that is so solid that if Bazunu and McCarthy were at any point simultaneously injured, we'd be looking for an emergency goalkeeper.
Great. This is great news. Just bring back Matthias Liss from his loan spell. Let's just
He looks all right against Goodness me.
Goodness me. Okay. Have you got any more news, Kevin?
No, that's it. I haven't really been seeing many of these salacious transfer rumours. It's all been quite eerily quiet.
Outgoings, that's all it is. That's all that the club's interested in at the moment, just trimming down the squad before they bring players in. But yeah.
You know what? I mean, if ABK and Slavia leave, that's going to have to be it, unless we can somehow offload on a match.
Yeah, Onuachi's got to go, hasn't he?
Absolute stinker of a signing. Well, no.
Under-21s then, their fixtures have been released for the upcoming Premier League 2 season, and their final match of the pre-season ended in defeat at Nottingham Forest on Wednesday, a very narrow 1-0 defeat. But the league kicks off on Sunday, the 13th of August, and we head to Newcastle for a 12:30 kickoff. And the women's two pre-season games have been announced, two home games actually, Billericay Town on Sunday the 6th, at Snow Stadium, 2 p.m. kickoff, and finally ending the pre-season at St Mary's against Hashtag United on Sunday the 13th of August, 2 p.m. kickoff. And the under-18s, they've announced their fixtures for the under-18 Premier League, and they kick off the campaign with a trip to Crystal Palace on Sunday the 12th of August. Right then, Kevin, let's talk about Wednesday, Sheffield Wednesday, from Friday night at Hillsborough. This is it, Kev. The season's begun. We're finally here. Begun perfectly with a dominant 2-1 win over Sheffield Wednesday. The first league meeting between the sides since 2010-11, and that was Nigel Adkins' first win as manager as well. So, and that was a season we did the double over Wednesday and were promoted runners-up. So, spooky, huh?
Yeah.
Take the positives, yeah. It was also Saints' first win on an opening day in 9 seasons. So they've drawn 4, lost 5. Yeah, and that was a 1-0 win over West Brom in 2013.
Lambert penalty.
Yeah, and we've lost the last 4, of course. But, I don't know. Dominant in possession, Kev, but not really testing them out too much. And Adam Armstrong apparently scoring without even taking a shot. Getting in the way of Nathan Tellerbeauty, only for that consistent concession of yet another set-piece goal. Lee Gregory grabbing that after 54 minutes. And then we left it late. I think it was a bit concerning, but substitute Che Adams to the rescue. 87 minutes to give us the dream start, and we climbed to the top of the table. I do believe we've slipped down to 4th now. But yes, it's a great start.
Yeah, definitely.
And you were quite buoyed by that start. As you said, it was a entertaining game. The 11 then, Martin's first 11, Bazunu, Kyle Walker-Peters, Ryan Manning at fullbacks, centre-back pairing of Bednarik and Stevens. Well, I say centre-backs and fullbacks, they were playing more midfield, weren't they? Because we didn't really have any defence, we didn't really need one. Will Smallbone, James Ward-Prowse and Carlos Alcaraz in the middle, with Teller, Adozie and Armstrong in the more advanced row, so it looked like a 4-3-3. No room for Che Adams, and Romeo Lavia misses out also. Thoughts on that 11 then, Kevin, and the omission of Che and Lavia?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lavia is an easy one. We're wrapping him up in cotton wool, so we can sell him to the highest bidder. You don't want to risk an injury at this point, knowing the big money that we're expecting from something close to the 50 million. I'm sure that's going to happen over the coming days.
Is that the way you see it, just wrapping him up in cotton wool so he doesn't get injured? Or is it just a case of, let's see what we've got life without Lavia and see what Smallbone can do?
No, because you've got to play to your strengths. You've got to field your strongest players that you've got. And, you know, are we going to field a team without Ward-Prowse just because that's where we're going to spend the rest of the season, possibly? Same for Teller or KWP. No. If, you know, if they're fit, they're going to play. But Lavia, I think that deal is like obviously a bit closer to being done than we know publicly. And as for Armstrong and Adams, I think it's a toss-up, isn't it? If you're playing a 4-3-3 like that, Teller and Odozie playing very wide up the pitch. I think, obviously, he chose Armstrong just based on what we've seen of him. He's been quite good in pre-season, so yeah, why not? You've got Shea on there as a super sub. It definitely worked out.
Yeah, that worked, yeah. Martin revealed post-match that it was a hard decision in picking one. Actually, I quote him now because I've got an interview right here. He said it was the hardest decision in the team picking which one to play. I think there is a way we can play both on the pitch, but not tonight.
Yes.
Does that mean that Adam Armstrong slips over to the left in place of Odozie, or does that mean that they play two up top with a 4-2-2-2? I don't know. He's happy. He says he's happy with the forwards. Unless one leaves, then we will replace them. And he did reveal that they have turned down a bid for Che in the early window as well, which I didn't know about. And I know
Bournemouth.
I don't know who it was, but I know I've asked you this, and I asked you this last week actually, if you expect Che to still be here when the window shuts. But hearing all this now and the fact that he didn't start, and we had Alfie House predicting that he'll move on, does your stance change at all?
No. I think that's it. You know, we've got. If we're not bringing in anybody else, Armstrong and Che, I mean, at the moment, I'm quite happy with that, to be honest.
It's a championship strike force, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm quite happy with it, and I would like to see both of them play and get the opportunities to score. But I don't know if he is going to be playing. But he says that they can play both of them, but just not tonight. I mean,
yeah, it's just promising because it shows that he's willing to vary the formation depending on the opposition, which is... what definitely needs to happen.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he did get the important winner as well, of course, but I mean, hopefully Martin knows how important his goals are going to be this season, because they weren't exactly easy to come by last year, were they? So, yeah, so true to the Russell Martin model then. Plenty of slow tempo possession, clearly evident from the off. I mean, Wednesday were camped in their half and Saints were pushing up very high.
Yeah, very high indeed.
And I didn't quite realise how high until you sent me this image of the average positions. Jack Stevens and Jan Bednarek, average position, were like just beneath the halfway line, which is crazy. Manning and Walker Peters were basically midfielders. Not even that wide either. Their average position was more infield, so it looked like they were playing centre midfield.
I mean, the number of times they crossed the goal line, it just blew my mind.
Yeah. And it was clear that that's how we are going to play. But I mean, no disrespect to Sheffield Wednesday here at all, but maybe against the league's bigger hitters, then it's going to be a little bit more of a conservative approach, albeit dominating possession and pressing up high, but maybe just leaving a few more back just in case of that. If you've got like a pacey winger that can cause problems, like, I mean, I know that Norwich have got quite a few. So we might have to look out for them. But then maybe he'll change that approach. But yeah, just a lot of the ball, a lot of slow tempo and a lot of high pressing and average positions. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where we're going to get caught out quite a lot this season playing that high. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday aren't the paciest of teams. But like you said, what it would take is a pacey winger. And they can get straight in behind our defence, and that's it.
Yeah, and Tim said last week that the average age of that Sheffield Wednesday team was the most in League One last year. I'm not sure what it is in the Championship this year, but yeah, they're not the youngest of sides, and they're not going to run you around against a team of Saints players that are very young. So it might have just been a one-off. Wednesday did have an attack of note actually right at the start, but Saints had four blocks in that attack, and then that was when Bannon actually placed it over the bar. But yeah, that was quite shocking actually.
Oh, well, that was from us getting caught on the break again and not being able to clear the ball for love nor money.
It's going to happen a few times this season if they keep playing that high. Yeah, but
I thought it was going to be brown trousers time that we're going to be looking at a rugby scoreline, but
yeah,
get together for that after that.
But yes, 8 minutes, Adam Armstrong. Wow.
Adam Armstrong. I didn't
even see it as Adam Armstrong's. Well, no, it's officially Armstrong's goal, whether you like it or not. It goes down as an Armstrong goal. But that was all Nathan Teller, wasn't it? And I was discussing this, that, you know, if Armstrong hadn't have touched that, and then Dawson would have probably saved it, right? Is that what they're thinking, the dubious goals panel?
Or that it was that it wasn't on target.
That's the thing, it was on target. And if it had hit a Wednesday defender, that wouldn't have been given as an own goal. That would have been given as Teller's.
Exactly.
It would only have been given a Teller goal if the ball was going off target and the defender actually changed the direction of the ball into the net. Adam Armstrong did change the direction, but it was still on target. So I didn't even realise it hit him until they said on commentary that it's actually going down as an Adam Armstrong goal, and they showed it a couple more times.
Yes. The replay that came about, you know, 5 minutes later.
Yeah, and everyone went straight to Teller, didn't they? So no one went to Armstrong. I don't even think Armstrong knew.
He must have felt it.
It's the way Armstrong. It's the only way that Adam Armstrong can score, isn't it? It's nicking off somebody else's. But yeah, very, very good hit from Teller. And
amazing from KWP to hold the ball up and lay it off.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I just had the urge to go onto Twitter and put, you know, tag Burnley fans in it and saying, yeah, he looks really, really pissed off to be here.
Free Nathan Teller, fuck.
Referees, Kev. I'm going to talk about them for a bit because they're clamping down on time wasting. And Adam Armstrong got in the book early for clearing the ball, and then instantly Lee Gregory goes and gets in the book for kicking the ball out of play straight after that. It's like, what? Did you not just see what happened? But there you go. These are all part of the, you know, clamping down on these new rules and time wasting. You know, Dawson, the goalkeeper, booked for time wasting. No warning, just punished for it, which is brilliant because how often do we see that? Especially when you're actually there, it feels a whole lot worse. You're just screaming at the keeper to kick the fucking thing, and they don't. But yeah, got punished straight away. No, the referee didn't go over to him and point his finger at him and say, "Look, you do that again, that's it. I'm going to give you a yellow card." Warning straight away, which was nice. And we also saw a Wednesday coach got a booking for standing in the technical area with Cisco, because only one coach is allowed in at one time.
Is this just a Championship thing, or is it going to be in the Premier League too?
I think it's going to be in the Premier League as well. And these World Cup...
I bet it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And the World Cup model for adding on time, that's evident as well. We're going to get a lot of 100-minute games, aren't we? Six minutes in the first half.
Yeah. Nine in the second. It's not as if there were any real stoppages. It's like an extra time, isn't it? You've got an extra 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, are they going to be consistent with this, do you think? Or are players just going to be getting on with things and just be, you know, adjusting to it themselves?
No, I think they're finally doing it properly. You know, and the fourth official, or sorry, maybe there's a fifth official with a fucking stopwatch who's every time the ball goes out of play, hits it, and then they add up, round it up to the minute to stop time wasting, that sort of thing.
I wish they would just stop the clock. When the ball goes out of play, stop. No, I wish the game clock would stop. So the TV
like in American football.
No, in every other sport. No, in every other sport, Kev. You name a sport that doesn't do that, apart from football. Oh, shut up. I'm talking about proper sports.
That is a proper sport. You just offended all of our Irish listeners.
I meant a well-known one. You know what I mean? It's like, it happens in every sport. Rugby?
I wouldn't like to see it in football.
Why not? I mean, that now when I saw as well... on the scoreboard at Hillsborough, when it went to 90 minutes, the clock stops, doesn't it? And the fourth official puts his 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, or 9 minutes as it was yesterday. He puts that up and you don't know how many. I mean, you see the fans with their own stopwatches at that point counting down the minutes. But
I thought that the...
Now they're showing it.
Showing it, yeah.
Now they're doing that as well, which is good. But why can't they just stop? The ball goes out of play, stop the clock. Nah. I don't understand it. You play 90 minutes then, don't you?
You'd be denied the beautiful headline where we get a last minute goal and it's 90 plus 8 or whatever it is, or 90 plus 12.
Kev, you know as well as I do that we're always on the receiving end of that.
It's a new era, right? Well, it's early days, yeah.
I loved how the stadium announcer as well. He announced that the attendance being the highest in the Football League this season.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah, maybe it's going to be Martin time. They're going to call that. I'll fucking have a bit of Martin time.
But yeah, 77% possession at the break, 11 total shots, dominated, but should have killed the game off in that first half. Plenty of the ball, but not doing anything of note, really. And you just knew at half time that we were going to need a second goal.
Yeah, we needed one to use a cliche to put the game to bed. We definitely needed that. But I wouldn't say we were completely out of chances. I mean, Alcaraz and Teller and Armstrong all had a decent crack from outside the area.
Yeah, this is the thing, though, Kev. Whenever we were trying to create a chance, it was that we got to that position and then it went back and then we had to make do with shots outside the box. And I just worry that, I mean, I mentioned it in the preview to the season that we're going to see a lot of the ball against a lot of these teams. It's just whether we can do something with it. And I was worried because only 1-0 and it took a shot, a brilliant shot, to break that. The only
I think I've got a solution to that problem, because I was getting frustrated that we were getting the ball forward very quickly and nicely and getting shots and crosses into the box, and just that there was nobody there to really receive them and get on the end of it. And I think the problem there is Adam Armstrong. He's not lazy enough. He just tries to work too hard, and he doesn't. Che's so much better at making those little runs in the area, about finding the space and creating something. He was on the end of a lot more than Armstrong was. I think he's our strongest striker, if I'm perfectly honest.
Che Adams is a centre forward, isn't he? He's a man that plays through the centre. But Adam Armstrong, yeah, like you say, he needs to be a little bit lazier, because he does like to drift and run back and do all that. So which is why he should be playing white. Like, if you're playing that 4-3-3, putting Adam Armstrong on that wide left in a dozy position yesterday, I think you get the best out of him that way.
Yeah, possibly. But then, you know, we need an Adozie.
You need someone that's going to be able to get the ball and run with it and cause the defenders problems. You need a Stuart Armstrong. That's what you need.
Well, yeah, Adozie was absolutely wonderful yesterday.
He was busy. Kept on the ball a lot, but just, again, there's no end product with him, is there? He's just a bit
He's made of papier-mâché.
Is he any different to Moussa Djenepo at this point?
He's a lot more skilled, a lot more refined. And he was generating a lot of free kicks.
Yes, he was.
Drawing the fouls.
Don't get me wrong, I love watching him play, and I want to see so much more of Sam Adozie, but I just think he does need to work on that end bit. The end product, doesn't he? I know it's a cliche for him, but he does. There's just nothing at the end of it. There's so many times that he was running. He doesn't seem to run out of energy, and he just runs it off the pitch. It's just like, you need more pitch there, Sam.
Yeah, but, you know, a number of times he'd run it almost to the line and cut it back in. And there was just no one there.
And Adam Armstrong was on the halfway line.
Adam, yeah, exactly.
Sheffield Wednesday did get the equaliser. 54 minutes. No surprises here, Kevin. A set piece. Didn't deal with the header. And it's headed back into the centre of the box, and Gregory's got it on a plate.
Yeah, completely unmarked.
Literally on a plate. Literally.
Literally. There's some crockery there. Just from the Hillsborough corporate boxes just thrown onto them. I mean, we are quite a short side. Yeah, we missed Yannick Vestergaard, don't we? And Paul Anuachu. Just get him in there for set pieces. Small bun beaten at the far post. Yeah, quite a weak player to be marking there. He's their centre back, isn't he?
Dominic Iorfa. Yeah, he's a big unit, isn't he?
Yeah, and didn't stand a chance. Just lets him head it down.
It's that second ball, isn't it? What are you going to do with that? Like, right in the middle of the box, and there's no one there.
Yeah, no one at the near post to boot it away off the line.
Nope.
Sad.
I'm just sat there shaking my head, thinking that this is such an injustice. And I thought, if we come away... I mean, at the start of the game, a lot of people were saying that, you know, it's the first game of the season. A draw wouldn't be such a bad result. That 1-1 would have been awful. There's no way we deserve to draw that game. It would, yeah.
Almost 1,000 passes and just draw one on.
Yeah. This is it. What are you going to do with it? It's all very well having those passes in possession, but if you can't score with it, then the stat is meaningless. It doesn't matter. But we did go back into the game on the 87th minute, though. Left it late. Easy finish, really. All made by the run and the assist from Prowsey. That wouldn't have happened without him. But yeah, Che does it against Wednesday, which is nice, because, I mean, obviously he played for United, and this meant a lot to him, and his celebration said that. And
cup in the ears, yeah.
But positive that the Blades would have enjoyed that. They would have absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and just turning the crowd toxic so there's no chance of them getting an equaliser. Fantastic.
No, and
Rich it has been.
And that's the good thing about it, though. As soon as that goal went in, I thought, yeah, 2-1, we deserved the 3 points. Brilliant. And as soon as they put 9 minutes added on, I'm always nervous when they add on the time if we're winning, because you know that what Saints do. But this game, it was one of the rare occasions where I thought, I don't even care if they get 5 corners in a row. Saints are not going to draw this game. They're going to win this game.
Yeah, when's they going to have the ball for about 30 seconds of those 9 minutes? So
yeah.
What are you worried about?
Exactly. Not worried at all.
Wasn't even very after the equaliser went in, because we could feel the pressure coming, and the substitutions definitely made a difference. Armstrong coming on, Adams coming on,
Adams certainly
reinvigorated it. Yeah, no, I liked Tune.
Aribo came on as well, but yeah, a little bit too late for him to do anything. But yeah,
I wasn't
as soon as we considered that the equaliser, I thought it was going to be 1-1 at that point. I didn't. I just thought it was going to be a lot of passing backwards, forwards, going forward, a lot of free kicks, a lot of running to the byline, no end product.
No, I thought the goal that goal was coming, the winner was coming. I felt it coming.
Okay. I didn't. I mean, as soon as the second one went in, I thought, yeah, we've got this now. I can't see Wednesday winning this game. But yeah, some individual players then, Kev. I just want to go through quickly. Jack Stevens, how did you think he did on his return?
Superb, yeah.
It's good. Nice to see him. And Ryan Manning debut. I thought he looked very good. More touches in the first half than anyone. And he ended it second most passes than the 22. So, yeah, I thought Ryan Manning was great. I was really, really impressed with Will Smallbone as well. He looked so comfortable. And again, yeah, taking the place of Lavia as well. I thought he slotted in nicely. I mean, you mentioned Adozie. You said you thought he looked really good. How about Nathan Teller on the other side? How did you feel about Nathan Teller?
He's great in the first half, but he sort of ran out of energy a bit towards the end of the second half.
Yeah, I mean...
Surprised he played the whole 90.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Adozie came off, didn't he? But I think if we are going to find ways to score, then it's going to have to come from the likes of Adozie and Teller. Adozie isn't quite the finished package. I said he does need to develop that end game. But Teller definitely has that now. So I think those players are key. And Adozie is going to get more and more minutes. This is going to be a key season for Sam Adozie, I think. So I really do like Teller and Adozie on those flanks there. But of course... Yeah. Them playing out there, that means that people like Stuart Armstrong miss out, and you just feel that Stuart Armstrong's going to be a...
Sulemana,
yeah. He's going to be like a more sub player, Stuart Armstrong.
Hey, there's a lot of games, and it's going to be against varying opposition, so, you know, against some of the weaker sides. We're going to need a lot of rotation, so I think we'll see all of them over the course of the season.
Okay. And Che Adams, you said that, yeah, he starts
against Norwich, in my opinion.
Made a difference and stuff. Yeah, probably. I think you're probably right. Is there anybody else that you know, tickled your balls?
For all the praise that we've heard about all this tiki-taka short passing and, you know, moving it around in circles and triangles, Manning can't half string together a 30, 40-yard pass, can't he?
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be a really, really good addition to this team. I have a feeling he's going to be one of the most underrated players as well. Because, I mean, the season that he had last year, he was one of the best, if not the best, left back in the Championship. And when we had Alfie House on, he said that he could have gone to a Premier League side. I just have a feeling he's being overlooked. We managed to get this guy on a free. He could be very, very key.
Yeah, I'm quite happy for him to fly in under the radar and just, you know, be a consistently decent player. He's not a big name. He's not going to go off to City for 50, 60 million. I think we can keep hold of them in the Championship or in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting when Roman Perra comes back. If he doesn't leave in the window, then what happens with that left-back position?
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, stats. Have you got any stats, Kev?
How many passes was it in the end? Was it 900 and something? It was just short of 1,000, wasn't it?
I think so. And I've got the touches were down at 1,148 touches. And Wednesday had 383. So absolutely ridiculous, totally dominant with the ball.
987 passes and 930 completed. So it's 94% pass success.
Yeah, but that's because they're only going 2 yards.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, I don't know about
no
you.
Long balls, no long balls. You look at the long balls stats.
Yeah, we saw it as part of the plan. I mean, when it was Nathan Jones or Ruben Salas in charge, and we just saw them just passing it back to the keeper and so on. It was frustrating. Here we kind of see it as part of the plan. Like, okay, yeah, they're going to build something here.
Well, I like to think that. I like to think there's an end game to it. Like, not just passing it for the sake of passing it, but actually trying to put the ball in the net would be nice, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. We were getting it forward a lot more than we were last season.
God, I'm so negative, aren't I? What does it...
I don't know. Maybe I have just drawn a line on the last season and... Right, new manager, new season, new league against teams that we haven't played in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Wednesday we played last season, but yeah,
Play Rotherham every week.
Yeah, that's what the crowd will be singing.
Yeah. Possession 79% 79.9 to 20.1.
Yeah. These are Man City stats, aren't they?
Yeah. 23 shots to their 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get the ones on target. How many of those 23 did we get on target?
7, yeah, 5 in the first half.
Oh, that's not great. What's the percentage on that? 7 of 23.
And under 30, isn't it?
Not great, but they only got 1 on target.
Yeah,
and that was the goal. Yeah. So say, Bazunu had nothing to do all night. There was one shot that I think it was Backinson that had a go from, and it kind of like dipped and looped, and Bazunu was kind of like, he saw it all the way, but then he sort of like dived late. And it was like, oh, shit, that could be going in. But then it just drifted off anyway. He had it covered. No problem. But Bazunu had nothing to do. So apart from pick the ball out of the net, and that wasn't his fault in the slightest. So
yeah, he was a little bit blinded for that one.
Yeah, that's how you like it, really. 8 yellow cards in the game, 4 each. And we had Manning, Adam Armstrong, Teller and Stevens. But that was more to do with the new rules. Well, Adam Armstrong, certainly. I can't remember. Manning one was a bit cynical, just clipped him away and took a booking for it. I can't remember the Stevens and Teller ones off the top of my head.
Neither.
No, okay. I really don't want to seem like a damp squib, but first and foremost, it's a win. It's the first game. It's business taken care of as well. And I just fear, though, if we don't punish the weaker teams whilst we have them on the ropes, then we won't be seeing 3 points against the stronger teams. You know, there's still a sense of not being progressive enough for me, and faltering in that final third, and just what's that word I'm looking for? Cutting edge. The cutting edge. We don't really have that. And I think that there's going to be teams like Leicester and Leeds and, well, I say Middlesbrough, but they ended up losing today. So there's going to be teams that are going to be able to find that, and they're going to be able to pump teams 5 or 6-0 occasionally. I don't think we have that in us, Kevin.
Do you not see Chele getting a hat trick?
I can't see it. Maybe on Tuesday. Yeah, I just can't see it, honestly. I just think we need to be punishing. Well, we needed to punish Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, surely a better team than Saints would have thumped them 3 or 4-0 last night.
As it should have. But, you know, I mean, it's a big night under the lights of the season opener. Maybe there were a bit of nerves. We got the job done.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. 3 points. And we went top of the league, albeit very briefly. But yeah, Kevin, who's your man of the match?
Oh, fuck. I mean, there's quite a few candidates here.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, Dozy really impressed. Teller with the wonder goal. He had a couple of attempts that he could
Teller didn't
try
score,
and,
Kevin.
Try and repeat. And, I'm going to give him the goal, even if his name's not on the score sheet, even if he just gets the assist. Smallbone looked dependable. Yeah, Stevens was great playing out from the back. Walker Peters and Manning were great getting up high and creating chances. But for an all-round performance, I think it's going to have to be Clousey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
that the intelligence to think in a fraction of a second to set up Adams for the winning goal.
Yeah, you watch his run as well. I've watched the goal a few times back and just watched it from where they are. It's going to take something like that for them to score. Just a little bit of movement into the box, into the space, and to set something up. And he did that. And without him, as I say, that wouldn't
have happened. Fair play to Walker Peters for spotting it as well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, he was involved as well. I'm going to give it to Will Smallbone. I thought he looked really comfortable. He's got big shoes to fill, because you know how the Saints fans think of Jurgen Klopp thinks of Romeo Lavia as well. Out of the side, Smallbone comes in after a year with Stoke. 154 touches, second most passes, 97% passing accuracy, 9 passes in the final third, or into the final third, 5 recoveries, 3 ground drills, 2 key passes, and tied first with blocks as well. So I think he was brilliant, and I wasn't expecting it.
Fair fucks, yeah.
Okay, so we're on to Tuesday, Kev. We've got Gillingham, Carabao Cup first round. We're going the first round this year, being a championship side now. And that's Tuesday, the 8th of August, and that's 7:45 kickoff at Priestfield Stadium. Last time we played Gillingham, Kev, was back in League One in May 2010, and they beat us 2-1. But overall, we edged them 13 wins to their 9 and 5 draws, if you're interested. But yeah, last season as well, Kev, they finished 17th in League Two. So even lower than Grimsby, and we all know what happened with Grimsby and us last year. It's a bit of an experiment, this one, isn't it? And I'm guessing that we're going to want to see a lot of the youngsters get some minutes. And I guess what I really want to know is, in terms of who do you want to see get some minutes? Are you kind of hoping that Dom Ballard gets a call? Are you hoping that Sam Amayar goes in? Do you want to see more of Teller? Do you want to see more of a Dozy? I mean, what do you want?
I want to see us take it seriously.
I think they should, yeah.
I think we've got enough players that we can maybe, leave out a couple, rest them for the weekend, but still put out a ostensibly Premier League side.
So you're thinking that anyone that he wants to play against Norwich are going to be sitting out for this one?
I think get the job done in the first half, and then let the likes of Ballard and Doyle and get
in. Amayar.
Amayar, maybe I'd start him. Yeah, I think, because he looked very positive in the preseason.
You think James Bree's going to get going out there? I think probably James Bree will start.
That's fair enough.
I'm not sure what we're going to do at left back, because if you want to keep Manning fit and healthy, have a good week of training and use him again against Norwich, then maybe it's not good to go with him from the off. But then again, who else have we got?
Get the job done. And, it's not going to have a huge amount to do anyway in League Two position.
don't say it.
Yeah, be walking the park, don't worry.
Grimsby, Kev.
Yeah,
reminds you of that.
Christ, who was manager when that happened? Wasn't Nathan Jones, was that?
No, it was Ruben Sayers. It was
the Sayers one. Oh, gosh, it's even worse.
So we're going to see a makeshift. Do you think Prowsey starts?
God, probably not. Or, I don't know, maybe you do.
Do you think Martin's going to be thinking about penalties as well?
No, I mean, this can't go to penalties.
Sorry, this is my pessimistic side again. No, we can't. We've got to go out and win the game. We've got to do what you said, I think. We've got to go out there in the first half and get the job done, then make the changes and rest up for Saturday against Norwich. So
do what Prowse did. I mean, what Arsenal did, just to play Prowse in every game.
Yeah. Yeah? he can do it. He can definitely do it, but yeah. Kevin, predictions then. You are up first on this one. What's the score going to be against Gillingham?
Comfortable 4-0 win.
I like this. Who's going to score the goals, Kevin? Where are the goals coming from?
Prowsey, Armstrong and Ballard.
Which Armstrong?
Both.
Me and Tim, actually, are going for the same. Tim is... Good. Tim is going for 3-0 Saints, and I already had it down as a 3-0 Saints. So, yeah, I don't think we concede. I think we are comfortable, and I think we win 3-0. Saturday, the 12th of August, Norwich City. David Wagner's Norwich City are in town. St Mary's first home game of the season. Really looking forward to it. They won today. They won 2-1 against Hull. Against Hull, yeah. But we've got quite a good record against Norwich, actually. We're pretty damn good against them. We've won four of our last five. Most recently, that 2-0 home win in the Premier League in February 2022 was only last year. Overall record, we've had 52 wins to their 41 and with 38 draws. Big turnaround for them this summer. They've had 12 signings and 11 out the door, including Teemu Pukki, who I think he's gone to the MLS, hasn't he, with Minnesota. Yeah, he went to Minnesota. Yeah, Kieran Dowell's gone, Sam Byron's gone, and they brought in Shane Duffy, Jack Stacey, Ashley Barnes, of course, they've all come in. But yeah, is there anybody in this Norwich team that you're worried about, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, just that front pair. They've got Josh Sargent and Ashley Barnes. That is some goal-scoring force, isn't it?
Well, Ashley Barnes likes to goal against us, doesn't he? He's definitely had that. He's hurt us before when he was playing for Burnley. So, and I quite like Josh Sargent. I think he's a little bit underrated as well. I know Tim likes him, but again, that's just being biased. But yeah.
Shane Duffy in defence as well. It's going
to be. Yeah, they've got some. They've brought in some experience, haven't they? Shane Duffy, Jack Stacey.
I wanted us to sign him. He was sort of, free agent, wasn't he?
Yeah. You wanted him because he's Irish.
Yes, of course.
I say they've got some speedy wingers and stuff. I know that Onel Hernandez is. He played today. He can be quite tricky. So I'm just guessing that, you know, some of those wingers that they do have are not going to allow us to play such a high line as we did against Sheffield Wednesday. They're a lot younger than Sheffield Wednesday, of course, minus Ashley Barnes, of course. But yeah, I just think they can threaten us, and it is at home pressure for the players being at home, being Russell Martin's first home game. It's I don't think it's going to be as easy as we think. And Norwich, whichever way you say it, Norwich are always a big team in the Championship. They're always going to be up there or about. Premier League team, of course, a couple of years ago. So, but how do you see this one going?
You've got to remember who they've got in goal. He's going to be suffering from PTSD returning to St Mary's, isn't he?
I think Angus Gunn had a good game today, Kev. I think he had a good save. Yeah, but yeah, he doesn't play well at St Mary's, as we all know.
It's going to be a lot more interesting and a lot more indicative of our season, how we perform against them.
Yeah, I want to get this one over the line because there'll be two games played then, and you've got the best of the best there. That'll be, you know, how many are going to win 2 out of 2? It'd just be, a good marker. If we can go and beat Norwich at home, then you know that you're going to be one of the contenders for promotion. Should be.
I just hope that we don't play as high a line as we did last night.
No, I don't think they will. Russell Martin's not stupid. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He's getting paid big bucks for it. But yeah, Kev, predictions. I think you're last on this one, aren't you?
Okay.
Tim is going for a 1-1, which is what I believe he went for Sheffield Wednesday as well. Maybe he's doing that for every single league game this season. Who knows? I am going for a home win, a 2-0 home win, clean sheet, comfortable.
Wow.
And I'm saying we beat them. I think the fans are going to be incredible. There's going to be red and white everywhere. Everyone's going to be up for this. It's going to be one of the most attended games in the last three or four years. I just think there's going to be too much for Norwich. Looking at their team on paper, yes, they have got players that can punish us, but I just think that we're better than them. If it goes to plan, then we are better than them and we will beat them. And I think we can shut them out and I think we win 2-0.
Super. I hope you're right.
Yeah. There you go. Optimism. Kevin, what are you going for?
I think there's going to be a lot more than two goals. So I'm going to side with Tim and go for a draw also. But this one's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think we'll get that 90-plus 8-minute equaliser.
You mean we're going to be 2-1 down? Oh, OK.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we can see a lot of the ball again and really give it to them. That'd be nice. Predictions on the Discord then. 6 people getting the 2-1. Coastal Elite, Tony Mears, Tim Brucker, Burke. Is that Burke one? How are we pronouncing that? Is that Bocconi? I don't know.
Burkwan.
What is it? Is that
Burke?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Is it Burke one or Bocconi? I don't know. But anyway, he did it. Let us know, please. And me with the maximum. Get your Gillingham and Norwich predictions in on the Discord app ASAP, please. Yeah, no Super 6 this week, obviously, because it starts next week. Yeah, no fantasy football this week also, because that starts next week. So, yeah, make sure, Kevin, you get your team in. I'm in. My team's done. I'm very not confident again. But, yeah, there we are.
Yeah, I mean, I joined that fantasy championship thing.
No, I'm too late for that now. So.
Well, I don't think... No, you should never go. You get stuck in, because I don't think I've got many points at all. Be easy to catch up.
Mm, yeah. Next week, we have reports from both Gillingham and Norwich, and we'll be previewing the trip to Plymouth. So, yeah, until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.